This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Malloy Show. I am Paul Malloy, if I can get that out of my mouth. And along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you for being with us. It is Friday, January the 12th already. We are moving along in the month, and there is a lot going on. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Neville Kramer. He is a former immigration border official. He is now a full-time security expert. And we're going to talk about the impeachment probe into Homeland Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Should it be going on at all? We'll talk with Neville in just a few minutes. And as the Biden administration launches strikes against the Houthis in the Mideast, back at home, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin continues to be targeted by House Republicans for not letting everybody know he went on hospital leave. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And the Iowa caucus, 3 days from today, Monday. Question: has Nikki Haley overtaken Ron DeSantis? Ron DeSantis went to every county in Iowa. And now there's a poll that says Nikki Haley may have overtaken him. We're going to take a look at that. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a good one, the top 10 most conservative U.S. colleges. All right, well, a group of, by the way, let's start out with this whole thing with the Houthis. First of all, there is a question of whether or not Joe Biden, as president, can by himself launch any attack against the Houthis. And the reason is he doesn't have the authority. It's the authority of Congress. It is the authority of Congress to decide who we strike against. You know, we are now ignoring the Constitution. The U.S. and Britain carried out a series of airstrikes on military locations belonging to the Houthis. Now, this is an Iran-backed terrorist group in Yemen.
Oh, I thought that was a band on the weekends.
Well, there is the Houthis, of course. Okay. Houthi and the Blowfish.
Yes, yes.
This is an outgrowth of the band in Yemen. They're actually a terrorist group. We launched a series of attacks in response to all of these strikes that they are launching themselves, apparently with Iran's blessing. There were more attacks. There were more than a dozen attacks on Houthis by air, surface, and subsurface platforms. They were carried out with support from Australia. Also, the Netherlands, Bahrain, and Canada were involved in the strikes. Now, I would think that the Congress would consider allowing this, but you got to go to the Congress. You got to remember in our Constitution, and we've ignored this. We created something called the War Powers Act. Remember that? the War Powers Act. And what Congress did was it abdicated its authority to decide who we would declare war against. And this was done after 9/11, and it allowed Bush to go ahead and wander into Iraq without any vote from Congress. None. And then look at what happened in Iraq, if you remember, if you're old enough to remember. We regretted it. We went into Afghanistan, as we probably should have, but again, it was done without a vote in Congress. So this is what we have become. We have become a country that is ignoring our Constitution. We're certainly ignoring the legislative edicts on our southern border. Biden is not carrying out the security of our country on our southern border. And yet he is authorizing himself to launch these attacks. Biden said he authorized the strikes in direct response to unprecedented Houthi attacks against international maritime vessels in the Red Sea, including the use of anti-ship ballistic missiles for the first time in history. Anti-ship ballistic missiles. How much closer are we going to get to a war, an all-out war with Iran? I don't think most people are against trying to stop the Houthis from doing what they have been doing. But we have to do it through our Constitution. We have to do it through the legislature. They are the ones that pass these laws. The president's job is to execute the laws. And when we declare a conflict as a war, in this case it is, if we start launching anti-ballistic missiles, then we need to have the Congress involved. Now, they don't want to be involved. They don't want to take responsibility. So this is a big problem with this War Powers Act. It's not something that should just be sitting on the table, allowing our president at any time. Now, if we were attacked immediately, the War Powers Act, I can see where that would be, you know, where the president would have to make a quick decision, because you couldn't get all 535 members of Congress to vote on it, you know, if some missile is coming in. That's different. But we're not in that situation right now. So I wonder why we allow this.
It could be another angle.
What?
Well, with our Secretary of Defense indisposed of getting gender change or whatever he's got going on there, and the fact that Kirby came out a few days ago and said it's not a big deal if he's out of the loop. We don't need his 24/7 on this thing. So what if they launched a little bit of an offensive attack while he's still indisposed of and say, oh, there you go, we didn't need him.
Yeah, and speaking of Austin, a group of House Republicans are going directly to Austin, the defense secretary, for more info on the decision-making that led to the Pentagon and the White House being in the dark for days about his hospitalization. Specifically, Claudia Tenney, she's a Republican from New York, led a group of about 24 GOP lawmakers to fashion a letter to Austin with questions about who was part of the decision to delay the disclosure. I think Austin is still in jeopardy of losing his job. And I would not, I think we should consider it. I think this is a real breach.
Because of his health concerns, he may have to step down anyway.
Well, he may have to. They can use that as an excuse to ask him to resign.
Exactly.
But this is a very uncomfortable situation. We're going to talk, you know, a little bit more about that later, but it's not getting, it's not going away, this whole Lloyd Austin. And now that we've got this, I don't know what you would call it, with Iran, a precursor to a war with Iran, with the Houthi attack, without the authorization of God, I think this makes Lloyd Austin's situation even more perilous. That's what I think. But what do I know? Anyway, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, we're going to change horses. Our good buddy Neville Kramer is with us. We are going to talk about the impeachment probe into Alejandro Mayorkas.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years. And two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so please call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a Friday. A lot going on. I can't think of anybody I'd rather talk with when it comes to the border than our good buddy, longtime friend Neville Kramer. He is many things. He's a security expert. He is a former immigration consultant, INS agent, and he's the author of a book, I believe you can still get, called Immigration Chaos. Neville, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Paul, great to be on the show again. I almost didn't make it this morning because I was jamming down the street with Hootie and the Blowfish, and I just realized that I had to get back.
So, you're a funny man.
You know. I work in Yemen. I was there in Sana'a before the Houthis took the place over.
Did you?
But, oh, yeah. I did counterterrorism training in Sana'a, Yemen. Yeah, it's quite a place. By the way, one quick thing.
Yeah.
One quick thing I want
Please.
Your listeners to know. Nobody will say anything about this, but there's a plant that they grow there called khat, K-H-A-T. You can Google it. You'll find out. The entire, 85% of the male population and 50% of the female population is hooked on this stuff.
Really?
And you have to use it. It's grown, and they bring it in by the truck every day. And it makes you tired and listless. And they use it every day. And if you see the pictures of the guys with these huge chunks of something in their mouth, that's what it is. It's cut, and they have to have it. If the United States wanted to turn that place upside down, they would bomb the cot fields.
Really?
And the place would absolutely.
No yeah, kidding.
Okay, let's get on with Mayorkas. But
well, no. In fact, before we get on with, there's a couple of things going on. First of all, because of your experience in Yemen and what is going on right now with the Houthis, and I don't know if you heard my rift before you came on a little bit about whether or not the president has the authorization to launch these strikes without the direct approval of Congress. What do you think? Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I think that you're correct that as part of the War Powers Act and the use of it, but the problem is you used the word they when you were talking about Congress. And they, if you're meaning Congress, are totally inept. They can't seem to do anything with immigration and et cetera, et cetera. So the people who work in the Pentagon say, let's just put that aside and let the president allow us to do things short of a war. Okay, and this is short of a war. Or knocking a rocket out or a drone out or whatever is not a war. The declaration of war is up to Congress. But they, okay, are so inept, and they can't seem to get their act together. So most presidents if it's a minor attack or some kind of defense activity, they just go and do it themselves and let Congress figure out who they are.
Well, the only thing about that is when we're launching anti-ship ballistic missiles, I would say that we're in some sort of a war. I mean, this is becoming just a word thing. But you know what? We got some other things going on. I want to mention, before we even talk about Mayorkas, did you know, Neville, that the Texas National Guard has seized control of a park at the U.S. southern border? It's now blocking Border Patrol from entering the area. It's part of an effort by Texas Governor Greg Abbott and the state to stop the surge of illegals into Texas. And
You know where I started in the Border Patrol?
Texas.
Where in Texas?
Shelby Park.
That's correct. Eagle Pass, Texas.
Wow. So you know about this area?
Yes, absolutely. I patrolled it for a year.
Well, here's the deal. Yeah. The state government has now taken control of Shelby Park.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a slap in the face to the federal government. And in fact, I'll tell you what it's bad. What it's bad about is that the Border Patrol is getting so overwhelmed that the state government is beginning to take over basically the border area.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't. I feel sorry for the Border Patrol agents, and I feel sorry for the state, but the state passed a law that said they've got to control illegal immigration. And as far as I can tell, the Supreme Court has said, no, that's just not true. They can put up their wire, their fences and so forth, but the control of the U.S.-Mexico border is the responsibility of the federal government.
It is. I think everybody would agree with that, but when the federal government is abandoning its efforts and just basically allowing people to pour in, I think you can understand why the governor of Texas says, wait a second, you're abdicating your responsibility. Since you've abdicated, somebody needs to control the border here.
I do understand that, and yeah. I feel sorry for them. Legally, I think they're wrong, but as far as the state is concerned, maybe they're not. Maybe the Supreme Court is going to say if the federal government fails. So this is something that the state has decided they're going to do. Texans, you got to remember, they're the Lone Star State. A lot of times they're out there all by themselves, and in this particular case, I feel sorry for them, but I think they're going beyond their legal ability.
I think they might be. But I've been also thinking that if a state has its own border to worry about and they are authorized to protect their border, and the border is the same border as the federal government, then you've got an issue of, does the state of Texas abandon its own border just because it happens to be along the border of another country? Do they abandon all responsibility to protect Texans? I think you could make a good argument in the Supreme in court about that, and perhaps you could delineate one border. Let's just say, if we step back, one borderline in front of a state borderline. Do you know what I mean by that? There'd almost be an easement.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
I don't. And another thing I want to add to it, Paul, is that neither one of them, the state or the federal government, has the capacity to secure that border. Just know that. I know we've talked about the fence and the wall.
No, I think you're right.
So forth, but you can take all the state troopers in the country and run them down to Texas, and the National Guard and run them down to Texas.
And you still couldn't control
the border. They're not going to secure. No, it's 1,900 miles.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Now, you can slow it down. You'll never completely close the border. I think everybody would be in agreement. But we have, it's not a slowdown, as you well know. The number of people pouring into our country now is at all-time record highs. We've got, and you'll agree to this, millions, maybe 10 million or more illegals wandering around in our country right now. But let's get on to this situation with Alejandro Mayorkas. By the way, we're talking again with Neville Kramer, and as you can tell, he knows what he's talking about because he's been directly involved with the southern border, and he's also a security expert. So he goes around the world, and he has been helping corporations with their security situations in many, many dangerous parts of the world. But so here we have, Neville, this House considering an impeachment against our Homeland Secretary. And I think Mayorkas is starting to feel the heat. He actually made a trip down to the border the other day. But he still seems to refuse to acknowledge the fact that he's not doing his job. Your thought about that?
Political theater, first of all, which I'm never in favor of. The Republicans have to remember that to really remove him, which is what they're trying to send the message, that this is the seriousness of what he's doing and not doing is so great that they're going to try to remove him. But they're not going to remove him, Paul, because the U.S. Senate is controlled by the Democrats,
right.
And they're not going to do. They're just gonna, so this is theater. This is just a show. And I'm not really interested in spending the time that we need to fix our border, to be worried about whether we're going to have a show on Capitol Hill with these people battling back and forth. Again, there you go. It's the they. Okay? I think Mayorkas should have been gone. He should have been gone a long time ago. He was in charge of USCIS, and under his control, it takes, you know, a year and a half to get a green card, okay? So, I mean, the place is run like terribly, and he's not a very good manager. He's awful, and he should be removed, but they're not going to remove him. That's just a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it gets hot and heavy enough, maybe the Dems will realize that politically they need to get rid of him, and he'll do the same thing that Austin's probably going to do. Okay, they're going to walk in one day and they're going to say, you know, I need to spend more time with my family.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Okay, and there they go.
Yeah. Okay, but you know, right? I'm with you. I think that may very well happen. If there is enough pressure, and it seems to be that finally the Biden administration is realizing they may lose the election because of the border situation. They have outraged people all over this country. They have outraged governors in blue states with what is going on with illegal immigration. So I think they are listening. I think there's a very strong chance. And if there's an impeachment probe, possibly this is the kind of turning of the screw that will force the Democrats to acknowledge what's going on and usher Mayorkas out and perhaps take a stronger stance. Remember, we've got that House H.R. 2, the resolution passed by the House to enforce security at the border that apparently the Senate has not been taking up. But don't you think that there may be some pressure now? It's still sitting there, H.R. 2. It was passed, but they aren't taking it up in the Senate, right?
Yes, that's correct. By the way, you're absolutely right about the election, but H.R. 2 is being promoted in total as some kind of panacea that it's going to fix everything. We both know it's not going to happen.
Right.
H.R. 2 is just a good piece of legislation that's part of the overall solution. But the overall solution isn't at the border. The overall solution is in three places: on the border, in the interior, and overseas. I've said that many, many mm-hmm. times, and we've talked about it. So we've got to control. You've got to worry about all three of those. Otherwise, the border activity is going to fail. And to tell you the truth, I think right now the illegal immigration situation is getting so chaotic that the American public is finally taking notice, and it could be a disaster for the Democratic Party. They could lose.
I think you're right.
They lose the House and the Senate and the White House. They're going to get a taste of what it's like to be playing with the lives of Americans all across this country.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Neville. I don't know what more can be said, you know, about stopping. We've talked about even the reasoning behind why the Democrats have been allowing all of these people to pour in. I think that is even backfiring. I don't think that a lot of the Hispanic population is all that are citizens of our country is all that excited about open borders. Myself. Also, I want to ask you this. I heard this in the debate between, I think it was Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis. They were on CNN the other night. I don't know if you got a chance to see any of it. But they were in a debate. And it seems to me, I think DeSantis is in favor of not only closing the border, but going after all of the illegals that are currently in the country and forcing them to leave. And I thought, come on, Ron, you know there is no way that you're going to be picking up families of illegal immigrants that have been here for many years with their kids and placing them in a bus or on a plane. Can you imagine the photo op that would, you know, all of these people, there would be all kinds of outrage at that. Is there any chance that we would be able to turn around and start deporting these people?
Some of them, but not to answer, to respond to what you're talking about, you are absolutely right. 26 and a half years in the INS, we are not going to deport millions and millions right. of people that just came in. It's just not going to happen. We don't have the guts to do it.
Exactly.
More importantly than that, we don't have the machinery to do it. We don't have the capability.
Yeah. How are we going to find them? That's exactly right.
Well, I mean, even if you find them,
what are you going to do? You're going to run into the tenement building and drag them out into the street?
Well, that's what America will put a stop to immediately. Right. The judges will put a stop to it because they'll take them to court and say this is in, you know, it's just cruel and unusual, whatever, and they'll put a stop to it. But it sounds good politically, you know. Everybody's waving the flag and saying, "Oh yeah, we're going to deport millions and millions of people," and it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. So Neville, you want to look into your crystal ball here? What's going to happen? Are we going to let's assume? Just for the sake of argument here, let's assume Donald Trump becomes president.
Yeah.
Is he going to start building the wall for sure? I mean, the truth is, despite all the talk about building the wall for the 4 years he was there, how much? When we got, what, an additional 50 miles of wall from him or something like that? There wasn't a lot of wall that was really built.
If Donald Trump becomes president, this is what I say is going to happen. First of all, he's going to come in and he's going to begin to continue to build the wall. They're going to put up about 25,000 new Border Patrol agents, adding to them and making it about 50,000 to patrol the wall that's coming. But the big thing is does he have the Senate and does he have the House? If he has the House and he has the Senate, then we are going to see some deportations. But what they're going to go after is they're going to go after the criminals. And they're going to say, if you've been arrested and convicted of a criminal offense and you're here legally or illegally, and you meet the requirements for the ability for us to deport you, we're coming after you. Those people, I would suggest, start hiding out, okay? Because he will go after them, and he was going after them, and I agree with it. But as far as the 8 to 15 or 20 million, remember that before this 8 million arrived, we had about 12 to 15 million illegals in the country to begin with. So you're not talking about, you know, you're talking about 8 or 10, you're talking about 25 million. So it's huge. He's not going to do that, but he will really begin to control illegal immigration. I think we will have E-Verify mandatory throughout the United States, although the Democrats are destroying that system as we speak. And I think he'll begin to send a word to the world that you're not coming in here like that. We're gonna fix our immigration system. He'll get it done.
Neville, quick question from my buddy here, Ed Davis.
Neville, I was just wondering if you can't deport them, what's the next race, to make them voters?
No, that's a great question. The one thing that we have to never do is give them a path to citizenship. You can allow them to remain in this country. It's an amnesty, but it isn't an amnesty. You allow them to remain, you give them a work permit, and you tell them that you are not on a path to citizenship or to getting a green card. You can come in and out. It's called a non-immigrant visa. We issue millions of them every couple, you know, hundreds of thousands of them every year. This is a temporary visa that can be renewed and renewed. You allow them to work, Social Security, they pay it, and then eventually they either leave or we tell them after your fifth time of extending your visa, we allow you to remain in the country, you know, permanently, but you cannot have a path to citizenship.
You don't think they would ever, even after 10 years or whatever of limbo?
Yeah, eventually, but you don't want that in the law right away.
No.
You want to pass that law after we get control of how many of these people there are, where they are, how many, you know, and what's in this country, and stop the flow from coming in. And then we can solve the problem. But right now, it's so chaotic that nobody knows how to control this thing.
What if they wanted to serve in the military?
No, I'm afraid not.
I don't think so.
I'm just throwing it out there. You know,
I don't want non-citizens defending our country. Well, we got enough citizens that should be doing that.
Was one state going to make them police officers?
Yeah. There's a lot of people that say we should do a lot with them, but it depends. You have to look at that individually. You know, I can't say that on a blanket you won't let them serve in the military. We had tens of thousands of Filipinos and Panamanians that served in the military, and they were illegally in the country many, many years ago. So maybe it shouldn't be a total ban on them, especially if we need their language skills and we need that. We should utilize these people. If they're going to be here, utilize them for what we can.
I'd love to go on, Neville. You are just I mean it. You are so interesting. You have so much. I wish we had more people like you running around in Washington. We'd solve this problem. I mean it. And I want to thank you again for taking the time. Boy, oh boy, I always look forward to chatting with you about these things.
You bet, Paul. Sorry to take so much time.
We'll do it again, and
look forward to it. Have a great new year, Ed and Paul, and we'll look forward to talking to you again.
Oh, always, my friend, always. Neville Kramer. All right, great guy. We're going to take our break. When we come back with the Iowa caucus coming up Monday, has Nikki Haley overtaken Ron DeSantis to be behind and be in second place behind Donald Trump? We're going to talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. Boy, there's a lot going on, isn't there? We're at war with the Houthis. We got impeachment galore going on here with Biden, Hunter Biden, Mayorkas. My goodness. Now, did you hear about this, Ed? Hunter Biden's New York City art dealer testified this week that the president's son knew that his, quote, sugar brother, unquote, his sugar brother lawyer was the top buyer of his paintings.
The painting by numbers?
Yeah, the painting by numbers, contradicting what the White House said about their ethics plan that would conceal whoever was buying Hunter's paintings.
Now, these paintings, are the originals because he did them when he was all chiefed up on drugs? Or
I don't know if he was chiefed up on drugs when he did. He probably did a better job under the influence than he would do when he's sober, but I don't know.
And he took a lot of photos of himself when he was all...
Yeah, according to the readout of a closed-door deposition with the House Oversight Committee, the guy that owns the George Burgess Art Gallery in Manhattan said he never worked with the White House on any ethics agreement. And the House knew, I mean, not the House, but Hunter Biden knew who bought about 70% of his artwork. So there you go. As if we were surprised
to hear
that.
Another lie.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. Now, We've got the Master Barber with us, Andrew the Master Barber. And Andrew, it's always a pleasure to have you on. I want to read from this latest information coming out of Iowa. A new poll, and I know how much you like polls, Andrew. A new poll in Iowa released yesterday shows that Nikki Haley may have moved ahead of Ron DeSantis for a distant second place behind Donald Trump. And I'm just thinking, Ron DeSantis goes to every county, and makes an appearance, and he can't beat Nikki Haley? He must be feeling pretty discouraged. What do you think?
Well, Paul, number one, what does it even matter at this point, to be honest with you? They're going for second place.
That's true.
Neither of them are going to go anywhere with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
you know,
I do.
So why the big fuss? I mean, everybody's worried about this election. We know that Trump is going to be the nominee.
It looks like real. It. Yeah.
I don't believe there's any question about that. Meanwhile, we're going into World War III, and nobody's really talking about
well,
that.
Well, we are. We are here about that launch of these anti-ballistic ship missiles. We were talking about that earlier, and in fact, I was talking about it with Neville Kramer, who was just on, and whether or not we should allow Biden and the administration to just launch missiles without the approval of Congress.
Well, you know, Paul, you can't find the Secretary of Defense.
Yeah, he's in a hospital bed somewhere.
Yeah, you know, the Pentagon, they don't know up from down what's going on.
No.
And neither does Biden, so what would you expect to happen?
I agree with you. By the way, going back to the poll, Trump is at 54% in Iowa. This is a Suffolk University poll.
And did you know that he's at the highest point of any history of any president in Iowa?
What do you mean by the highest point of any president?
He has, at 54%, that's the highest anybody has had in a primary in Iowa.
Yeah, well, and it's a caucus, but yeah, it's 54% for him. Now, Haley, apparently, if you want to believe the poll, is at 20%, and DeSantis is at 13%. Here's the thing, though, with it. I think when you do a caucus, it's not as easy to figure out what they're going to decide. And you got another issue. Did you know it's going to be about 14 below zero Monday?
That's right. That's right.
That's going to keep
below zero.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Sure, they'll be inside.
But they, you know, they say that those people are used to that like anything else. They're going to go out and vote. They know it's important.
Well, I know a lot of them do, but it's going to keep a lot of them home, I would think. And I wonder, excuse me, I wonder if it's going to change the dynamics in any way. But let me, go ahead.
I think the Trump people are going to go out come hell or high water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think that's, maybe the other people say, well, our person doesn't stand a shot anyway, so I may as well just stay home.
We're talking with the Master Barber himself, Andrew Ceresi. And Andrew, you must be, are you holding a wake for Governor Chris Christie now that he's dropped out of the race? I know that you must be berserk with sorrow.
He should look at it. He was paid to do what he did. He knew he'd never stand a shot that he was going to get in there. He was paid to do what he did, and that was bash Trump.
You think that somebody just handed him a fat wad of money and said, go run for president because we want you to bash Trump?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. Wouldn't they?
Anybody think that maybe Haley's getting a push from outsiders?
Of course.
Yes.
Because if, let's just say that Trump, let's say that they're successful in keeping Trump from getting into the White House for some reason.
That's right.
Who would they rather deal with? Would they rather deal with Nikki Haley? Or would they rather deal with Ron DeSantis?
They'd rather deal with Nikki Haley. There's
right.
No question, because
exactly.
She's part of the establishment. Let's be real. Ron isn't. They won't be able to push him around. They'll
I think Ron is a little more inflexible.
What scares me, if the other side says, oh, this person's not a bad politician, we don't mind one. That's the one you need to keep your eye on.
That's right. You know, at this point, like I say, I'm not too worried about it because everything you see going on with Trump is just making him stronger and stronger.
It does
seem. The more it goes on, and let me tell you something. With what's going on, do you see the protests in Yemen and everything, all the Palestinians that are in this country right now? Now that we're bombing over there, you watch and see if something happens here or not.
Yeah.
You got to remember,
gotta
there's a lot of them. There are a lot of them here, my friend.
No, I think you're right. As we said earlier in the show, there is so much going on right now, and so much of it is negative, you know. What did you think about that wonderful appearance of Hunter Biden when they were deciding whether...
He's such a fool.
And then he's making a documentary. This guy has got chutzpah. He's making a documentary about himself. So he's trying to make a buck on a documentary. And he had his own camera crew inside the halls.
What's more insulting, why does he get escorted around by the Secret Service?
Yeah.
Because he's the president's son.
Good God. Like anybody's going to take a poke at him.
Okay.
Well, there is people that will take a poke at him.
I mean, Obama's daughter.
No. He does need security. That I would agree with.
Like one of his baby mamas, you know?
No, there's lots of people that would like to take a poke at Hunter Biden. Now, whether or not he deserves Secret Service, he's a 53-year-old man on his own. I'm not sure how the rule goes.
It's called a free ride is what it's called.
Yeah.
They got their enough money. They could have paid for their own security, you know. Let's be real. China's been supporting them.
So let's talk just for a moment on one of these trials. I think, if I'm not mistaken, there are 6 separate trials for Donald Trump. But Trump said yesterday that his legal issues have basically, all of them, have been set up by Biden, President Biden, and the Democrats, and he said this is their new form of cheating in the election. He held a press conference on his Manhattan property on Wall Street yesterday, after closing arguments were delivered in the non-jury civil trial stemming from the Letitia James lawsuit against him. She is looking more and more like a clown, by the way. I saw her sitting there in court, smiling and making sure, you know, mugging for the camera. Doesn't she have anything better to do as Attorney General of New York than to waste her time sitting in on... it is so obvious that this is a political, I promised you I would go after Trump. And then she has the nerve to say, no, this has nothing to do with politics. Nothing whatsoever. She ran on going after Donald Trump.
Well, nobody believes her anymore, do they?
No.
I mean, they're making their own bed. They're going to sleep in it. It's all come tumbling down. Unfortunately, as our country's coming tumbling down, the world's in turmoil with it.
Yeah.
And we're going to end up taking the brunt of it, and people don't see that yet.
I think people are seeing... Some people are seeing it. Go ahead.
Yeah, like I said, if Trump doesn't get in, and if a Democrat gets in there again, this country will never see a Republican president ever. It'll never happen again.
I guess if Biden somehow wins this election, and I'm still not sure that he is going to even make it to the finish line here, in November, but I would be in a major depression with a lot of other people, I think.
Well, now you get the other side, the famous Whoopi Goldberg, that says if Donald Trump becomes president, and they seem to forget that he was president once before, and we didn't come unglued then, but she says that if he gets in there, then that's going to be the end of democracy. He's going to get rid of all the gays.
Are you kidding? We'll finally get back to the Constitution if we can get Trump back in.
And he's going
to
get rid of all the gays.
Hey, did you see?
Oh, that's... And
he's going to be a dictator on day one.
Yes, indeed. This is... everybody knows. And this is why so many people, I think, are saying, you know what, there's something wrong going on here. And that's why they're gluing themselves to Trump's train right now.
Did you see what Jesse Waters is going after Taylor Swift? Because her political views and the way she puts him out there can actually swing a election.
No, I didn't know that.
Yes.
You're talking about Jesse Waters from Fox News.
Jesse Waters, yeah. He was going after her all this week. And he had specialists on there saying how she herself, with all the followers she's got and the fans, because I guess look what she did in the last election. She told all these people to go register to vote, and they did.
Well, then they're morons.
Yeah,
they're listening to some rock star who doesn't know anything about, who could barely spell legislature.
You're right on the money. You are right on the money, but yet that's what's happening.
Yeah. It is always a pleasure. We could go on. I mean, there are so many other things I want to talk to you about, but we were running short with the clock here. But I want to thank you, as always, my friend, for being with us. I'm looking forward to talking with you again next week.
You got it, my friend. Have a good week and enjoy the beautiful weather we're having.
Yes.
Now, hey, guy, to get the scooter out. Go get the scooter out and go get a tan. It's starting to rain right now.
Andrew's hibernating till
yeah.
March.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little overcast here. He's making a joke, friends. But I'll tell you what, I'd rather be here than in Des Moines, Iowa right now, for sure. Thanks,
you guys have a good weekend.
All right, buddy. All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, among other things, we're going to tell you the top 10 most conservative U.S. colleges.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years. And two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so please call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrews, Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back for the final segment of Freedom Works. We thank you so very much for being with us. We are here, by the way, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. But if you cannot listen live, Big Ed puts all our shows on podcast. Bless him. Go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. That's O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button at the top. It'll open up. You can take your pick of whatever show. He's got the most recent ones at the top. You'll know who the guest is, the topic with the guest, and our top 10, OurFreedomWorks.com. Ed, before we get to our top 10, we've got the NFL playoffs starting this weekend, and our own beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers are in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me, are we playing who, the Philadelphia Eagles?
Yes, we're the Philadelphia Eagles Monday night, so we'll do another show before they come
on. Oh, okay, so we'll be able to talk about that specific game.
People are up in arms right now because this is the first year that if you're a Dolphins fan, you know they're playing the Chiefs Saturday night.
Okay.
It is. Unless you subscribe to Peacock, you can't see the game.
No? You mean I can't watch the Dolphins game on?
Nope.
On Spectrum? Cable?
Nope.
I can't believe it.
Nope.
Why would they want to get rid of all of those viewers? They think they're going to make more money the other way?
Because if you sign up for Peacock, even if it's only for a month, $5 for the month, at least they get the $5. People
wow.
are very upset right now.
I would think so. I assumed every playoff game would
be on... Then off the field with a lot of coaches being fired and then Bill Belichick stepping down yesterday.
Yeah, New England Patriots, longtime head coach.
A report came out this morning that there is a team that is in the playoffs that is very interesting in hiring him, but they still have their head coach.
Do you know who it is?
I haven't said.
Any guess?
It's either the Dallas Cowboys or the Bucks.
Really? The Buccaneers?
Yeah.
Wow. That'll be very interesting.
Because Jerry Jones...
He might want to live in Tampa, so I could see him considering that.
Well,
one.
It worked for Brady.
It did, didn't it? Okay. All right, Ed. Get over on the drums, if you would. These are the top 10 most conservative U.S. colleges. It comes from Niche, N-I-C-H-E, niche.com. Niche combines six factors in grading the best conservative colleges: academics, athletics, diversity, value, the campus, and the party scene. The party scene on campus is a factor.
Yeah.
All right. So here we go. The top 10 most conservative U.S. colleges. Number 10, Utah State University. It's in Logan, Utah. Not surprising that it would be a conservative university, the Mormon area. It gets a B+ overall for its niche grade, all right? And by the way, it's about $14,500 a year for tuition.
Mm.
All right, number 9. North Greenville University, which I've never heard of. It's in, of all places, Tigerville, South Carolina.
Yay.
Yes, indeed. They're number 9. They get a B-, and if you go there, about $19,500 per year. All right, number 8. Colorado Christian University. It's in Lakewood, Colorado. Is that near Denver, I wonder?
Lakewood? I'm not sure where that is. No.
Oh, okay. They get a B. And the average tuition per year, about $26,800. Number 7. SMU, Southern Methodist University. Yeah. In Dallas, Texas, a religious university. They get an A in the niche grade, and listen to how much you pay per year to go there, $42,000. Wow.
They were one of the only college football teams that got the death penalty. Remember they cheated?
Yeah, I kind of do remember that.
Yeah.
I can't believe the tuition. There must be a mistake on that. Anyway, number 6, Grove City College. It's in Grove City, Pennsylvania. They get a C+ overall, but they made it to number 6, and it's about $21,800 annual tuition there. Number 5, Brigham Young. Oh, yeah, Brigham Young. It's actually the Idaho campus of Brigham Young, okay? This is a different campus than the main one. It's in Rexburg, Idaho. They get a B-, and it's only $6,300 tuition. Number 4.
Ooh, that's a bargain.
It's a great bargain. Number 4, Cedarville University. Good old Cedarville. It's in Cedarville, Ohio. B+, about $25,400. Number 3, Bob Jones University. They're in Greenville, North Carolina. They get a B, and it's relatively inexpensive, $19,000 tuition. All right, number 2. Liberty University, Lynchburg, very religious, conservative university, B+, $27,900 tuition. All right, Ed, you want to guess as to what the number one? I'm going to give you a huge hint.
Uh-huh.
We mentioned in this list just now one of the other campuses off-site.
Brigham Young?
That is it. Brigham Young University in Provo, Utah. The main campus is number 1. They got an A niche grade, and their annual tuition price about $13,400 per year. So there you go. We're going to have to do the most liberal college. There's so many. I don't even know how you can possibly.
You mean Notre Dame didn't make the list?
Notre Dame did not make the list. Mm. No, they didn't. Did you think they might, or you'd be
funny?
Well,
it's such a party school, you know?
Yeah, it is. But partying is not the major thing. You got to be conservative. All right. Well, that's about it, my friends. Thank you so very much for joining us. Have a great weekend, a safe one. God willing, we'll be back Monday. In the meantime, remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3